Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
You're in a tight game. You've got to make the play that's there. You know, I think sometimes we defer to maybe a little bit too safe. And, you know, the bottom line is we got to win games.
Lindy Ruff on the 2024 calendar year ending loss to the Stars. Happy New Year, everyone. It's a brand new year for us on Sabres Live, and we're looking at the schedule ahead. Colorado and Vegas are the top two teams in the NHL over the last 10 games. Colorado and Vegas are Buffalo's next two opponents starting tonight, Marty Baron.
Yeah, and look, there's probably no better way to say, hey, we're going to have a New Year's resolution in 2025 and we're not going to play safe. The Sabres, as Lindy Ruff said after the game the other night, we need wins. We need wins. Like, we need points. We need wins. So why are we, you know, being safe in that situation? And safe can mean a lot of different things. I felt the Sabres were too safe offensively. I felt like they didn't attack the net. They stayed on the perimeter. Did Dallas guide them that way? Maybe Dallas did a good job, but you know, I'm not going to single out like, oh, this guy was safe. But I can look at examples, right? There was a play where Zach Benson came around the net, and I thought he could have cut the net. He could have attacked the net. He could have, but he went more towards the corner and got it to the point, and then you go D to D shot on net. Did it result in a okay look shot and maybe a chance? Yes, but could a better play have been made? Could a more aggressive play have been made? That's what Lindy's talking about. These are the situations where you're looking at it, you're like, be more aggressive. Want it more, and we need wins. That's what it comes down to.
It does come down to that, and there's so many things to look at with where they're at, where they're going, and with this specific matchup tonight, and in the context of the NHL, which had only one game yesterday. It was New Jersey losing for a third straight time as LA continues to be the best points percentage team in the NHL at home, which, by the way, they've had very few losses in that rink under Jim Hiller as head coach going back to last year. Buffalo hung one of them on them in regulation earlier this year. So you never know. This is the whole thing. And if we're looking at the matchup tonight, talk about never knowing. I'm sure as a player, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to ask you, as a player, do you often think to previous matchups, especially when it went the way it did against Colorado this year, leading 4-0, falling 5-4 on home ice?
You do, because it is a significant game and something significant happened in that game. The fact that you were up 4-0 after one, 4-1 after two, Dahlin got hurt. You didn't even get a point. You lost in regulation. Like, those are all things. And again, like with Lindy Ruff's word, you cannot be safe against Colorado. They'll walk all over you. Yeah. Like, I mean, if you just play to the, you got to score. You got to get pucks on net. You got to score. That's what the Sabres did in the first period. They put up 4 on Georgiev, who wasn't good in the game, but you still put up 4 on an NHL goalie. And you got to keep going that way. So that's, yeah, I think you can definitely look at that game against Colorado and put the game sheet on the wall. Put the game sheet on the wall so everybody can see it when you go out on the ice today. Like, blow it up. Put it on the wall and say, look, this is what we did last time. And this is when things started to go bad for us. Like, they won 3 in a row. Yeah, they lost to Dallas. But they had won 3 in a row. It's that 13 game that really sticks out as the main reason for where they are right now.
Well, that was game 4 of the 13-gamer. Yep. But I would say almost unbelievably, there was nothing separating Colorado and Buffalo in the standings, basically, at that point. 2 points. And the Avalanche had lost 3 out of 4. Like I said, Buffalo had lost 3 in a row, but the only poor game in the 3 was the Islander game. The other two, they were like, hey, we could have had, should have, could have, whatever, had those games.
Yeah.
Colorado's 10-3 since and including the comeback. Buffalo has gone 3-9-2. And the gap in the standings is basically that entire, you know, window of time. So it matters not for Colorado. You can't change the past. So in some ways it matters not for Buffalo. But there are some things that are obvious in the matchup. McKinnon continues to be, if not the best player, he's top 3 every single night.
Yep.
Mikko Rantanen has 19 points in his last 11 games. He's trailing only McDavid and Draisaitl right now for active points. He's at 11. McDavid and Draisaitl are at 12. Makar is Makar. Their goaltending has been very good since swapping out both guys. Like Wedgwood is 4-2 and Blackwood is 5-1.
Yeah.
You know, like it's exactly what they could have hoped for. Best case scenario when making the trades that they made. And so if we're talking about the top players on Colorado, you then in turn have to look at the top players for Buffalo.
100%.
And so Tage Thompson, and like most really good players, sometimes like their ability is so good, it almost maybe masks the truth. Like Tage has got the points lately, right?
Yep.
But you look back at the last game and you were on this from in-game intermission on, shooting the puck, shooting the puck, shooting the puck. Tage only has 10 shots on goal in his last 9 games.
Yep.
He also didn't take any faceoffs last game for the first time this year.
And he's only got 2 goals in those games. So he's got 2 out of 10. He's 20%.
Yeah. Yes, correct. Yeah.
Still shooting 20%, but he's only got 2 goals.
He's also gone 9 straight games playing under 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, well under 20. Now, I went back and looked, and last year there was a segment of time where he went almost 20 games of not playing 20 minutes. So it's not completely unusual. However, based on the results or lack thereof, I think it would be surprising to people that, wait a minute, like Tage is capable of the points. We need him out here more. And again, the reason we bring this up is Tage missed time,
yep.
Right? And so now we're not seeing like a normal volume of minutes. He had a maintenance day earlier in the week. And who's to say where he's at? But the point is, Tage is still picking up some points. More than ever, they need everyone around Tage to help, you know, lift the
Tage ship. Didn't take one faceoff last game, Duffer. Jason Zucker took 8, went 1-7. Alex Tuck took 4, went 0-4. Tage didn't take any. So there was 12 faceoffs. He was on the ice, didn't take any. Mm-hmm. So some people are going to say, well, is everything wrong? Everything okay with Tage? He's not shooting as much. 10 shots, 9 games, you mentioned. He did have a shot that was 106 miles an hour, his only shot in the game. So I'm thinking, okay, well, you know what? Like, think to be able to shoot 106 miles an hour, you better have everything working, right? So yes. that's a question mark. But you look at, you mentioned Alex Tuck has had a hat trick, right? Great. Alex Tuck had a hat trick just recently. But in the last 15 games, he's only scored in 2 of those games. Mm-hmm. He's only scored in 2 of those games. He has 4 goals in the last 15. 1-1 goal game, 1-3 goal game, but that's 2 out of 15. Like, I'd like to see Alex Tuck score on a third of the games at the very least, at least 5 of 15, maybe 7 or 8 of the games. Get going. Mm-hmm. Let's go. You can be a 40 goal scorer. You can be a 30 goal scorer. Let's go. JJ Paterka at 2 goals in 2 games, but that's his only 2 goals in the last, I think it's 12 games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been tougher for him. I get it. Jack Quinn had a tough turnover. And look, that, but the Sabres came back. They got the Malenstein goal and they came back. Jack Quinn, since returning, has 6 points in 4 games. Now, last game, that line didn't play well. I'm not going to put it all on Jack Quinn. He had the right one turnover. Everybody saw, okay, everybody makes mistake. That one ends up in the back of the net, but you recovered. You came back, and the game was 2-2. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely, I mean, Cousins has to get going again. Like, there's things right there for players to look in the mirror and say, okay, we have to pick it up. And our coach just gave us a green light. Don't be safe. Well, you know what? I'm going to go all out offensively. I'm going to create. I'm going to go out. The coach just gave me a green light.
Do you think there's going to be a different look among the forward 12, like the 12 forwards? Or, well, like that can mean, like, does anybody come in? Like, Obey Kubel is there, obviously. But do you think that we could see another tweak of the lines?
I think that Lindy Ruff has tweaked his line so much, mm-hmm, that I'm almost thinking now the opposite. You got to, okay, just trust that group and say, you know what? Like, show me something before I move things around. Like, let's, like, okay, we had won three in a row. We lost one. Okay. Well, show me that you can bounce back.
Right.
Right. And so they did, you know, have the day off yesterday. They got on, they're going to get on the ice or got on the ice. Like, I mean, the time change is what it is. They're gonna prepare for this game, but give them the chance. That's the way I look at it. I look at it. The only change I would make, and I mentioned it last game, I would consider switching Peterka and Quinn to their strong side as opposed to have them on their offside. I think that I would like change that energy like that. But again, that's a very minor change when I look at the forwards.
Right. And this may be a tad surprising unless I read it wrong, which is highly possible, but the Sabres actually have better 5-on-5 numbers this year than Colorado does, which is a little,
Colorado was terrible at the start. But
the thing is, it's not like Colorado has the world's best special teams either. So it is, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of strange how they've done all this, but also not surprising because they were a preseason favorite among many to be one of the best in the West. And obviously now with their,
along with the Rangers in the East.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe I wasn't as bullish on the Rangers. I certainly couldn't have anticipated them going from 12-4-1 to 4 wins in the last 19. Yeah. But they played tonight. I mean, they take on the Rangers. There's 12 games on the NHL card. Do you think anything is – are they just going to ride this out with the Rangers? Like, what is the – what do you think is going to be the – and the reason
US,
I bring it up – the reason
US
I'm
rumor is Zibanejad, right?
What's that?
The U.S. rumor is Zibanejad now. Like, right. They're not happy with Zibanejad. They're not happy with Pettersson. They're not happy – there's a lot of teams that are not happy with a lot of their marquee players for different reasons. I think the Rangers, it would be a big step, significant step, to trade a Zibanejad or to trade a Kreider. And I don't think that team would be better for doing that. I like, the first thing you look at a team before you look at the roster, you look at the coaching and all of that. I don't know. I think Laviolette's finishing the season and they would look at it over the offseason, but I don't see the Rangers going anywhere right now. And if you make moves right now, I think it's going to be a negative move.
Well, since you mentioned him, why wouldn't the Rangers pursue Elias Pettersson?
Well, they could.
They absolutely could, based on all the money that's going to be coming off their roster if they're not hanging on to Chris Kreider at 6.5 a year. If they somehow move Zibanejad, who makes 8.5 a year, makes it a lot easier to bring in 11.6 in Pettersson, right?
Yeah, but what did the Rangers need? A number one center. I mean, they have Vincent Trocheck playing center. That's what I'm saying. So it would make a lot of sense for the Rangers to go after.
So how do other teams get in the way of them from doing it? And should there be interest from all other teams in getting Pettersson based on the GM's comments? And first of all, Patrick Alvin, do you think that there was just like, that this was super, super, super orchestrated to tweak Pettersson?
Yes, I think that almost felt like it was, I want to make a point and I'm going to use that to make a point. And then now Pettersson's out. Like, okay, he's coming back and Quinn Hughes is coming back. But we posed the question on social media, you know, and I got to go back to the actual question that we put out there, but it was basically, if Elias Pettersson is available, would you want the Sabres to be interested? And people were saying, you know, absolutely, no, he's not, he's lazy, he does that, the other thing. Somebody mentioned, well, he has a no-movement clause. It doesn't kick in until July 1st, 2025. So that's the big reason why there's speculations right now, because he doesn't have trade protection right now, and that can happen. And I know people are saying, you know what, he's not really committed, whatever. Elias Pettersson, to me, is what Thomas Vanek was. He's a great goal scorer, will produce, doesn't always give you that, but at times he can be a beast, right? And Van was like that. And people, we have the, you know, we all love Thomas Vanek, but Van was not the guy that, you know, blocked a ton of shots and won a ton of one-on-one battles. But when he wanted to, man, did he kick it in the air and he got it done. And Pettersson's the same way. And yes, I would take Elias Pettersson 100%. I think the league, 31 teams, would have inquired on Elias Pettersson. I think the Rangers would inquire. I mean, that's a significant piece that would be moving if Vancouver wants to move Elias Pettersson.
Who else needs him? Did you see what I did there?
Well,
Chris,
you want to see like who we're competing against?
Anyway,
you want to see who the like the Bruins would need him. The Bruins could take him. They tried Elias Lindholm as a number one center. They have Pavel Zacha. They could take Elias Pettersson and be a number one center that would fit with Pasternak. I mean, the Bruins could take him. I'm going to say the Flyers could take him. The Flyers would like love a Pettersson to play with Michkov and Konechny and that group of guys. Like, there's a lot of play, and I think that would be coming east. I think if Vancouver makes the move, they're moving him east. So I'm looking at the Flyers, the Bruins, the Rangers, the Sabres, the Red Wings. I mean, there's a lot of teams that would be looking at a number one center to come in and fill in that role.
Detroit would be interesting.
Yeah. I don't think Ottawa would be in that group. I think Ottawa is liking what they have right now, but I mean, it'd still be an upgrade over, you know, who they have as a number one center right now in Ottawa, but it's Shane Pinto or, you know, Tim Stützle would be in there. But I think Pettersson would be a good fit anywhere. Put him anywhere. He's a good fit.
You don't think his value has been diminished yet?
Nope, not yet. I think it's going to cost a lot. But
what's
I think if you're the Sabres, and you're looking, if that's somebody you say can make a big difference. And I get this year may not be, excuse me, coughing myself to thinking. I get
same
this
as the
year
old
may not
year.
Be the, you know, like, oh, man, let's make that push. Like, it's a tough place to be. But look at the future. Look at what you're bringing in. I think you have to part ways with a significant roster piece. Vancouver's in the playoff spot. Vancouver's looking at, if we move Pettersson, we want somebody to fill in that gap in the middle of the ice. So you're probably looking at moving a player like Dylan Cousins. If that's the case, to say, okay, well, they have JT Miller in the center, and then, whoop, you'd have Dylan Cousins in the second-line center in Vancouver, probably. So you're probably looking to move a Dylan Cousins and something else with it. That's the way I look at it. The salaries... there's a significant change in salaries between Pettersson and Cousins. I think there would need to be a sweetener, something else with Cousins to be able to get Pettersson.
As far as how this is all going to impact Vancouver, how do you think it's going to play out? The Canucks have not been particularly good at home, which is a big reason why they are certainly not free and clear when it comes to locking down a playoff spot. So, I don't know. How do you view it? Because obviously, for at least a month now, it, you know, kind of goes back to rumors of him and JT Miller not getting along and whatever. So,
yeah. And look, is it Brad Richardson, who's a defenseman in Vancouver, spoke on like one of those podcasts and said, I told JT Miller, ease off the guy a little bit. JT Miller's a fiery guy. JT Miller's a guy that pushes, right? He wants to
Vancouver's
go hard
not
all
in
time.
A playoff spot, by the way, in case you
misread. Oh, they are right now?
They're not. They're third in the wild card.
Oh, yeah,
race.
Because Calgary ended up passing them. You're right.
Yes.
That happened on New Year's Eve, but everything.
See, your
that
instincts are to disagree
night,
with me still here in 2025.
No, that's good.
Come on,
like
be
that.
Better.
Be better. Be better. yes. But, okay, so, like, Miller likes that way. And I think Rick Tocchet is that way as well. Pushes, right? And Pettersson under Rick Tocchet has dropped a little bit. And I'm not saying you got to cater to everybody, but you also have to look at the situation. And Elias Pettersson used to kill a lot of penalties. This year he's not killing much, although their penalty killing unit is much better than when Pettersson was killing. But there's other reasons that are coming in. Pettersson is not performing the way that he should. How does it play out in Vancouver? I think the Vancouver Canucks are looking around, and I think JT Miller is looking around, and Quinn Hughes is looking around and say, whatever happens, happens. We want to make the playoffs. We want to be a better team. So if you don't fit, good. If the management thinks you want to trade you, good. I've been on those teams. And that's hard to be because you want to like everybody and you want to play well for everybody. You want to be friends with everybody. But sometimes you're like, you know what? If somebody gets traded, somebody gets traded. That's the way it is. And I almost feel like that's what's happening in Vancouver right now when it looks to Elias Pettersson. And I'm not seeing Elias Pettersson saying, screw this. I want to be here. Like, what are you like? I'm not seeing him like planting his flag into the ground and saying, that's where I'm at. I'm not seeing that out of him. So maybe he wants a new scene. Maybe he wants a change of scenery and perform better for a different team. Maybe that's a possibility.
Yeah, anything's a possibility.
A possibility. That's knowing. a 2025 quote right there. Anything's a possibility.
Is not expecting.
Along with be better.
Yeah. I'm very much of like it's not being around the Canucks on a daily basis. Very hard from a distance to try to interject something meaningful on what is potentially, you know, tension between individuals and whether it's just two individuals, if it's more than that, if it's now like a general manager and is it by extension because he's verbalizing what the coach thinks, you know, among his top player, like is Alvin doing this because Tocchet can't say it on, but Tocchet doesn't hold back. Like it's not like Rick would hide something, but I also look at it the other side, like, and you just, you know, you pointed out like, you can't ride every single person into the ground relentlessly. Nope. And like, I'm sorry, but some people are not wired to take that.
We're not 1985 anymore, or even 1995 or 2005. It has changed.
It may never change though, Marty. Like you have to be aware that some individuals are just, they have every
wired right differently and they have different life experiences. You have to deal with them differently.
Yeah.
Learn about them. Learn about their backgrounds. How they grew up. How were they successful? Talk to their family. Talk to their coaches. Find out. Like you don't coach one way anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not your way or the highway. You have to be able to approach everybody differently. And that's fine. That's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. But I think when I look at Elias Pettersson, I think this is a player, and then you look at the numbers, and that's one thing I did on NHL Edge. This is a player that used to play so fast. That used to be one of the fastest players down the wing. Great shot, great release, like unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at his numbers this year, and I know numbers change, smaller sample. He is in the below 50th percentile on NHL Edge in speed burst, where he was in the 90th percentile. Like he was the one of the 10% fastest player in the NHL 2 years ago in the way that he played. Mm-hmm. And now to be in one of, like, on the half that the slowest, like that's not just him. Like the player didn't all of a sudden from 24 to 26 change that much. I think there's other things. There's systems. There's coaching. There's other things that don't fit with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it will unlock somewhere else. That's why I think Vancouver is going to want a lot for him because they know that once they trade him, it's probably going to unlock somewhere else.
Yes. But I do think, this is my instinct right now. I think they will, if they move him, I don't think the return will be as high as what many would have perceived it to be at some point. They've hit their
ride.
Okay,
well, we have Jake here. He's saying if it would take Cousin or power and more, not a no-brainer for me. So do you think that is like a player like Cousins or a player like power
I
and
think,
more?
Yeah, honestly, Vancouver, this sounds ridiculous based on them having Quinn Hughes and Philip Hronek when healthy.
Mm-hmm.
They do want to add to their defense, but do they want to add in the form of a 7-8 million-dollar defenseman? I don't know. If they subtract 11.6 from the forward group, maybe that gives you the room to re-sign Brock Besser, who's a pending unrestricted free agent.
Mm-hmm.
They've committed to Jake DeBrusk. That was their big offseason move, and it's started to really pay off for them. But like, if Besser walked, and dare I say, all you were left with up front was JT Miller and Jake DeBrusk,
Connor Garland.
That, I'm not going there. He's not. I like him, but he's not on your marquee.
I know, but we're obligated to mention him when we mention the team.
What I'm saying is, I don't know, even with the brilliance of Quinn Hughes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can proceed forward with just JT Miller and Jake DeBrusk as your marquee forwards.
No, you need something else.
I think. I don't know. I mean, every team finds success in different ways.
And but they have Elias Pettersson right now. So you could say, okay, with Miller, Pettersson,
and they have Besser right now. That's what I'm saying.
And Hughes, like, then you're okay. We're and Demko and Nat and whatever. You're like, okay, we're in good shape.
Yeah.
But if you move Pettersson, you're going to have to replace him with something.
If you move Pettersson and Besser walks, the forward group looks dramatically different. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm not convinced that they're just going to aim for a number one defenseman. They've got their number one. They've got their number two. Like the Byram situation, right? Like Bo Byram needs a new deal, right? Would he be a good fit? Of course he would be a good fit. He'd be a good fit anywhere. He's also a good fit right now for Buffalo, you know? So I don't know. I didn't intend maybe to spend this much time on it, but it's newsworthy. He's an $11.6 million player. There are very few of them in the NHL. The Rangers have lost 15 of 19. They may look a lot different. This is all relative to every other team right now that is trying to tweak, get better as we get closer to the trade deadline. And as we've always seen, like, there are some teams that get ahead of it. Well, so who's to say we don't see a big deal in the NHL here in the next 2 to 3 weeks to kick off 2025?
How you also sometimes as a GM can play chess instead of checkers. That's the old, like, is you, you know, the movie Moneyball, right? When he's calling other GMs and he's trying to find out who wants whom, and then you try to get other pieces. So find out, like, if the Rangers are really involved in trying to get Elias Pettersson somehow, can you get something out of the Rangers? Can you be that team that's like, hey, you know what? Like, let's find a team that's vulnerable right now, that's trying to swing for the fence, but maybe we can get something out of them. Or other teams that are trying to make it happen. If Boston is looking at acquiring Elias Pettersson at some point, okay, well, what else can we do? What else can we do to maybe not allow Boston to get him and get Pettersson, or maybe, you know, talk to the Rangers, talk to Detroit. Like, rumor has been flying that Buffalo and Detroit have been talking about maybe potentially some pieces moving between those two teams. Well, if you make a trade, maybe you fill in a gap by looking at other teams that would be involved in the Pettersson conversation.
Do you think Montreal would be interested?
Well, Montreal, Kirby Doc has been on fire, Duffer, so they've got their second line center now.
He's not the trade piece. I mean, it could be whatever.
It could be a trade piece somewhere. Yeah. I think Montreal may be interested, just because I think anybody should be. Anybody looking at Elias Pettersson should be interested. And I know, like, he's Vancouver. And people could say, oh, he's this type of player, I guarantee you, people have not watched a ton of Vancouver Canucks this year or the last few years, the year before. They play at 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, and they're rarely on national TV. So unless you have the package and you're watching all the highlights and you're really paying attention to Elias Pettersson, you've not watched him. He's a fantastic hockey player. Does he need to give more? 100%. Is there reasons why he's not giving more? I'm sure there is. But Elias Pettersson is a fantastic hockey player.
It's game one of 2025 for the Sabres tonight. They are taking on the Avalanche in Denver. It's an 8:30 pregame for us on MSG. Game can be heard, of course, right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And we have a ticket and t-shirt promo to set you up in this brand new year with. It's a black and red t-shirt. And you can arrive in style when the team faces off against Washington next week on January the 6th. Just visit sabres.com/black and red to purchase yours today. The Sharks are sad. It's really hurting. to watch their demise after they had a nice little window of time where they went 10-6-3. But to continue our conversation, might the Sharks affect the trade market very soon? We're back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
35 minutes into the new year, and I'm already lamenting a huge missed opportunity with how we could have started the show. Who sounded worse to close out 2024? Okay. Marty Baron or Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins, who full marks for gutting it out at the Winter Classic. But even he admitted, like, sorry, guys, we've all been really sick with whatever's going around. Like, when you played him doing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, I'm like, who's that? I'm a Pumpkins fan. It was unrecognizable. And then going back and watching the Tonight introduction when the players are coming out of the dugouts onto the field, and I'm like, oh, poor. So if you've never seen the Pumpkins live, don't let the Winter Classic be your marker as to where they are at in their career. No, that was that.
Smashing Pumpkins are fantastic, and Billy Corgan's awesome. So I was thinking about that when I was going through like my voice disappearing, and then it became like this tickle in the throat, coughing that I kept happening, and I'm like, I'm feeling great, but I'm like, don't know why. Like, you're so whatever, everybody's getting sick or whatnot. But I'm like, what if I was a singer? What if I was an entertainer that, like, this really happened? Now, number one, they probably pumped me full of meds to try to recover faster, but you wouldn't be able to get it done. And obviously, he gutted it out because it was a special event and he wanted to be part of it and all of that. But you're right. Like, it's not easy when you're one part of your main instrument or piece of equipment is struggling like that.
Yeah, it's tough. I have endless respect for every artist on the concert circuit. I don't understand how they physically survive the grind.
It also depends how you get to that point. Sometimes it's on you. Like my very first time covering a playoff series, I was with Darren Dreger and Ryan Rashad for TSN, and we got to Montreal, and we had the first night was a little bit of a longer, later night. And I think I got too excited and started like having a lot too much fun. So the next morning, I had no voice. But that was on me. It wasn't a virus. It wasn't anything. It was on me. And Dregs was laughing. He goes, hey, kid, better take it easy the first night on the road next time. And I was like, oh, shoot. Yes, I better take it easy. But yeah, it depends how you get there. There's good reasons and there's bad reasons.
Sabres Avalanche tonight. Buffalo looks for revenge after falling 5-4 on home ice to the Avalanche earlier this year. Their prospects, the Sabre prospects that are playing at the World Juniors, have jumped into quarterfinal action today. Yep. Sweden and Latvia is ongoing, and Anton Wahlberg is making a mark. This is point number 7 in 5 games in the tournament. He started the day tied for 6th in tournament scoring, a rocket that allows Sweden to take a 2-0 lead on Latvia in quarterfinal play today. Of course, beyond this matchup, we have the U.S. and Switzerland, Finland, Slovakia, and Canada taking on the Czechs.
Yeah, and this is one of my favorite day when it comes to the World Juniors, because those games get very, very intense. You know, you get some surprises at time, like we've seen. And look, for Sweden, who have always been a really, really solid team at the World Juniors, and Latvia could cause a surprise. I think this is a really good start for Wahlberg and his mates to be able to get up to a 2-0 lead. But if you think about Canada tonight are playing the Czech team. Czech is always a hard team to play against. Canada has not been able to score a ton of goals. They lost to the U.S. in the New Year's Eve game. They don't have a player on Team Canada that has more than one goal. They've got 8 guys with one goal. Nobody has 2 in, you know, the 4 games so far in the tournament. It is going to be a gut check time for Team Canada. I think Team USA is a fantastic team. They'll breeze right through Switzerland and get ready for semifinal. I would never say that usually, but I think Team USA is pretty special this year.
They are. Well, they were last year. That's why they're
Switzerland,
special
Swiss
this year.
The Swiss team is always a tough out, but like I think Team USA is that good.
What's interesting is that Canada actually won fewer games than Czechia in the preliminary round.
Yeah.
So this matchup is not like your typical, whoever lost on New Year's Eve is the favorite when the quarterfinals begin. Everything you just said about Canada is concerning. They won two and they lost two. The Czechs went 3-1. So we'll see just how it plays out. Slovakia went 2-2. Finland went 3-1. Konsta Hellenius and company try to roll onto the semis tonight. As far as the Amerks, they get back in action tomorrow. They're on the road for a couple of this weekend. They are taking on Springfield and then Bridgeport. And they've won 11 of their last 13. We wish safe travels to the house cat. He's been assigned to Jacksonville in the ECHL right now, which means obviously they are fully healthy with their two netminders in Rochester, which would be Devin Levi and Felix Sandstrom. So hopefully House Cat will get some work there, and then we'll see him at a later date here as this Rochester season rolls on. They're still tied for first in the conference, let alone the division, and they got a little help yesterday from their throughway rivals in Syracuse who upset the Marlies, keeping Toronto behind them and wasting one of their games in hand. So the Amerks are really impressive so far, and again, playing without the Heleniuses and Wahlbergs of the world, and they hope to make it a weekend sweep on the road. As far as this matchup tonight, are you expecting Luukkonen to go for Buffalo?
Because I'm expecting Luukkonen to go. I mean, you asked me the other day if I thought Luukkonen would go all games this trip, and I said yes. Mm-hmm. The Dallas game, I thought he played well. The expected goals were like a 5, in the game or whatever. Like he still was better than the average and more in that game. Just saves early on. The one on Jamie Benn was fantastic. Like he battled. He battled hard, and I thought he was really good. Mm-hmm. Now, you always have to check with your goalie and say, okay, how are you feeling? And is this the best situation? But Lindy Ruff says we need wins. Mm-hmm. And usually when you need wins, you rely on your number one goaltender. And you rely on a guy like Luukkonen to be able to put up the wall. He was fantastic in 3 wins in a row. Lose one, get back like the rest of the team. Just put that Dallas game behind you. Get back on it. Let's go. Let's win this one. Let's win Vegas. Let's move forward. Like, I get it. Like, getting a... usually you go on a 4-game road trip and you say, hey, 2-2 would be great. Well, 2-2 is not good enough for the Sabres right now. Right. They lost 1 game in Dallas. They need to be 3-1 coming back from the last 2 games, Colorado and Vegas. So, Luukkonen for me would be the guy for the rest of the trip.
Of course, they saw DeSmith in Dallas, and he was able to get the win. It's expected they'll see Scott Wedgwood, who unexpectedly got the victory against Buffalo last time after relieving Georgiev when the team fell behind 4-0.
When the Colorado Avalanche decided to change both their goalies, Justus Annunen and Alexander Georgiev, since Blackwood and Wedgwood have been with the team, they've been lights out. Like their stats, they both have a goals against average under 2, a save percentage in the 920 highs and 930s. I think they've both only lost one. Maybe Wedgwood has lost 2 games and 2. Yeah, right. And Blackwood's lost 1. I think Wedgwood's 5-2. Blackwood's 4-1. Like they have
5-1 and 4-2. These are things I said at the top of the show. Thank you for listening. My goodness.
Listening. I didn't write it down. I need to write everything down, Duffer. And I didn't have a piece of paper.
You are the last guy that needs to write anything down. It's all
up here. Are you kidding? Usually it is, but I always, why it's in here is because I write it down first and then I see it again and then it gets remembered.
Do you know what I wrote down this morning?
I have a book here with a bunch of notes. Like I have books everywhere. I have to read and write everything.
And recycle, I hope.
No, I save them in boxes so I can go back to them.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm old school.
We need a spoof production. The wee hours of the morning. Marty sifting through the archives of his notes from 1997. Oh, by the way, you did cap 2024 with some.
Are all the games for this year all the notes for the games this year, all my notes from all the games this year, I write them all down and then I revisit them. And, you know, you want me to go look at Colorado? I can tell you what happened in Colorado because I've revisited those notes many, many times in the
delete
last
the
two
file.
Weeks. I know.
Delete the file.
Well, I think I said after that game, usually you'd put that one in the garbage, and this is not one you got to put in the garbage. This is one you got to really, you know, and well, unfortunately, it didn't really change a lot because they did not get a win after that. But this is a chance to totally redeem yourself. Go into Colorado, get back in the winning ways, and put that last game at home behind you.
We were quickly discussing potential for trade activity around the NHL earlier based on names in the news like Elias Pettersson. I did mention before the break San Jose. I want to reiterate this. They started the year with 9 losses in a row. They then rebounded incredibly well, went 10-6-3. And at that point, I was sitting there going, do you really want to trade off of your assets when the likes of Celebrini and others are getting insulated really nicely by veterans and you're finding a way to be basically a 500 or better team? Well, now the shoes, boots, any sort of footwear, they've fallen off, they've dropped, they're gone. They're walking barefoot through the NHL right now, and it's very hot under their feet. They've lost 11 of 12, and some in the most excruciatingly painful way. And I think, converse to what I said earlier, I think now's the time to sell. Like, Granlund's 100%. Only got 2 points in the last 7. How much more can you damage this asset? He was one of the best players going into the month of December. And I think they need to maximize this. And I think teams would be crazy not to want Mikael Granlund right now.
Yeah, well, I think everybody should be looking at a player like Mikael Granlund. And look, he's a $5 million player, but by the time you get him, he's not going to be owned much. He's already almost halfway in the season, and he's a UFA at the end of the year. That's a perfect rental. A guy that can play center, that can play the wing, that can fit in on your power play, that can be just a third-line guy. I think he would help a lot of teams in that need. And I'm looking at Cody Ceci. I know I've mentioned Cody Ceci before, and I think that losing Cody Ceci for the Edmonton Oilers really affected their balance on defense. But he's a big right-hand shot defenseman that is a UFA at the end of the year. He's a $3.25 million defenseman. And I think that you would probably start with those two, Granlund and CeCe, and then work your way through the rest of UFAs or players that you want to move out. But those would be the top two guys I would do in San Jose.
Quick timeout. Back to wrap Sabres Live after this. Stay with us.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Winding down rapidly here on Sabres Live, first installment of 2025. Least surprising development this NHL season, beyond Nashville being what they are, is a person they employ who's now run afoul with the NHL law. Yeah. Zach LaRue made a junior career of getting suspended and crossing the line, so it hasn't taken him very long to find himself called in for his actions, which is an awful slew foot on Brodin. Spurgeon for Minnesota. And how many games do you think he gets for this?
I think he's going to get 6 games for this. And I know the first one. I think it's an in-person hearing that he's getting.
I heard that, but
no, maybe I'm wrong. It's just like, again, maybe I need to write it down and know exactly where I saw that. Look, that's dangerous. These are the type of plays for me that I feel are really dangerous, where you see broken legs, you see like careers affected.
Yes.
I get head injuries, and those type of injuries to me are those type of hits are the most dangerous ones. So that's why I would say 5 games. But Zach LaRue plays hard, and I take him on my team to play hard, but be smart. Like, don't slew foot a guy. Like, that's why they change rules on icing, because of those type of plays.
Mm-hmm. Shesterkin on an injured reserve here real quick. Probably won't be long-term, but still concerning nonetheless, right?
Concerning. It was a hard hit he took, and obviously they didn't say that it was that hit, but it's Sambonet driving the net, and then he gets crushed in by Lindgren into his own goalie. He played the game, but it's just a hard hit, and it's not going well for the Rangers and Shesterkin right now.
No, Quick and Company will be taking on the Bruins tonight. We have the Sabres and the Avalanche this evening as Buffalo continues the road trip. We'll see you at 8:30.